This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're in conversation. Let's touch base with Ronald Murungai, author and motivational speaker. Ronald, good morning to you. Welcome to Power Zone.
My good sir, good morning. How are you today yourself?
Well, I'm feeling okay. We just came out of a heated debate about the leadership qualities, yeah?
I was listening to that, yes. Very entertaining, I should say. Very engaging topic.
Maybe we should start there. As fathers, because we're talking about a boy child, you know?
Mm.
And but before we even bring a leadership concept towards it,
yes.
I just want to ask a question as to why there is a need for a specific focus on boy child. Because people from a certain school of thought can say, boy child, he's got all the advantages, you know.
Yeah,
he grows up knowing that he's going to be the head of the family. He grows up knowing that he's macho. He grows up knowing that, he can't do dishes and so on. He can't cook because that's for the girls and so on. So people are saying a boy child is so much advantaged because of all these patriarchal concepts. You know, so the question is there a need really to focus on boy child as opposed to girl child?
I think it's a good question that you ask, Gwena. And I think the thing is now, we've seen a lot of stuff that's happening for the girl child. We've seen the take a girl child to work initiative, and all these other things that kind of focus on that particular child and not necessarily the boy, because like you say, the patriarchal system that we grow up in kind of already assumes that the boy child is covered and has everything under control. Whereas this is where the problem becomes, because I'll tell you what, there's a survey that came out last year from Sonke Gender Justice, which kind of says 6 out of 10 children in South Africa grow up without their fathers. And of course, looking at the population stats, can just assume that 50-50 in terms of the boys and the girls. Now, this boy child who has not really therefore received a proper model of how to become a father, how to become a leader, how to lead, love his wife, and all those other things that you're talking about just now, how is he then expected to effectively do all these things and apply all these roles when he hasn't really gotten a role model himself? Then we have a problem where men are just trying to find their feet and doing their own thing because guess what? Nobody taught them how to. The societal expectations they therefore try to live up to, and without the knowledge and the teaching, therefore, and the wisdom from the elderly before them, they mess it up. Then we end up having men are trash, et cetera, all these things, because now we've taken a broken little boy and made him and given him so much power that he doesn't even know how to use and effectively so.
So, Ronald, tell me.
Needs to shift.
Okay.
Mm.
No, tell me. You see, when a boy child, grows without a father, is it inevitable that he's going to experience challenges? Or even if a biological father, is not around, but there can be guardians around, like uncles and so, who can shape him? Or is there a difference where a biological father is required so that he can be nurtured and developed, you know, to become, you know, a decent man within a community setup?
I'll start with myself. When I actually grew up, I think from age 7 onwards, without my biological father in the house.
Okay.
And different men, of course, the malumes and the uncles and stuff have played their role in my life, and pastors, etc. But it cannot substitute the role that a father, biological father, can play and must play in the role of the child. Now, it's not to say it's a given that because one never really had their father around, therefore they're going to mess up in life. I would love to think I've turned out all right. But guess what? The thing is now, with the research that we've seen and all these other societal problems that we kind of experience today, if you look at the root cause of it, for most part, it's a result of the thing that I've just spoken about earlier. The man, the boy child, who previously, before becoming a man, was a boy, never really gotten that impartation that he had to receive, the wisdom that he had to get in order to become as effective as a man and identify himself as such to become an effective member of society. And you see, the problem therefore is out there. For I can tell you that, for example, 80% of rapists that were surveyed about 5 years ago in our prisons today were from households without a father. Now, that definitely cannot be just a coincidence that this is like this. Certainly, therefore, there's something that a man, in terms of him viewing a woman, him loving a woman, him treating a woman right, he has to receive from his father before him, or in the absence thereof, his uncles and, you know, other men in society. So that's what I'm saying. We cannot substitute those guys for the father. The father must take his place. He must be there at home to take care of his boy child.
10 after 1, Power Zone it is. My special guest on the line is Ronald Muringai. He's the author and motivational speaker. And of course, he wrote an interesting book, Fathering Sons. We're going to explore it a little later on. And we're focusing on the absentee fathers to their sons and whether they have any impact at all. And this is the subject. And of course, if you want to weigh in into the conversation, the power line is 0861987000. We are also on Twitter at PowerFM987, hashtag PowerZone, or you can tweet me directly at Murillo Muriano. So, Ronald, in the beginning, we spoke about this these two contrasts of a girl child and a boy child. And I want to take you back to a colleague of mine some many years ago. I think it was about 12 or 10 years ago. Tsepo Mabona. At the time, he was working for SABC Television.
And
it was it was during the time when the issue of a girl child was getting prominence, you know, like you rightfully mentioned that there were campaigns like take a child, you know, to work and so on. And I do remember watching television. It was a sports program, and Tsepo in the middle just spoke about, you know, I acknowledge these campaigns about, you know, a girl child, and he says, but I feel that equally we need to do something about a boy child, because I'm worried that if we don't balance the scales, it might come out skewed. Was he right in saying that as much as there was that bigger need to focus on a girl child, but he was saying we shouldn't leave the boy child alone? Was he correct in that approach?
He was very wise to say that, because not taking away all these things that are being happening for the girl child, I think it is very good initiatives. We come from a very patriarchal society, and of course our methodologies are based on that. And of course sometimes we look at all this gender-based violence and look at it and blame all these ways that we come from. But equally so, we need to also say, now that we are focusing on the girl child and trying to educate her and empower her for who she is, how do we do the same for the boy child to make sure that, hey, you don't take advantage of a woman like this. Hey, you don't treat a woman like this, etc. So we can't just do it in a vacuum and take the girls and leave the boys out to fend for themselves. I think Tsepo was right there. I totally agree with him to say, in as much as we've set up programs for the girl child, can we do the same for the boy child? So that when both of these, you know, sets, when they grow up and become mature adults themselves, our society is therefore a much better society than we currently have. So I totally agree with him on that one. I think he was right here.
Yeah. You know, there are other constructs within our cultures, for instance, like you've got your, what you can call in Setswana Sepe, this is Sotokoma. You know, or the initiation schools. And somehow, I wonder if maybe at times they are used as substitutes for instance, for absent fathers. And if we look at the history of our country in terms of migrant laborers, you find that in rural KZN, in rural Limpopo, in rural Eastern Cape, throughout the country, basically, when the fathers leave their homesteads to come and work in big cities
in
like Cape Town and Joburg and so on, then there is this absentees of fathers, because normally they come home either twice a year or at some instances once a year. And in some instances, they're gone forever, by the way. They're swallowed by the city lights. So this initiation schools, because, well, I've never been there. I've always been terrified by them. But you hear people that they will never tell you the secrets of what is happening there.
But they're
talking about that it's an opportunity for a boy child to be groomed into a proper man. So I'm not sure whether, Ronald, from your perspective, you see those initiation schools, what we call Boko, Mali, Bolo, and so on, maybe as some kind of an intervention that our cultural norms initiated so that they can plug in the gap of absent fathers?
Look, I think in a way I should, let me not take away from what our cultures have tried to do to help and enhance the male experience, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But that in itself is not enough, because guess what? This thing only happens for a week at most, sometimes 2 weeks. And if we're talking about a child who grows from age zero, and then you do this thing when you're like, what, 15, 16, 17, probably, as you just, you know, break your teenage years,
mm-hmm.
we can't expect all that stuff which you have not learned over all these years suddenly to be crash coursed in a two-week period and then make you a perfect man after that.
Mm-hmm.
So great an idea, perhaps, if it was based on that. I cannot vouch for myself for that as well, because I think, like yourself, I probably would have run away as well. I cannot really say I would have stayed there and watched all those things happening. But for those that have, for the guys that have gone there, you know, like you say, they really don't tell us much of what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a movie that came out earlier that tried to expose some of that, and we saw all the drama that came with that as well.
Yeah, in there, but the movie,
that's the one.
Yeah.
So problem is, if that alone, if we expect a boy to become a man over a period of 2 weeks without having received the proper foundation over his entire period in his life, we are actually setting up ourselves for failure.
Yeah,
because this is not an intervention that can make up for all the lost time. In fact, it actually may create problems, I'd say. Like I'm saying, I put my disclaimer up there to say, no, I support, you know, what we will do with our cultures.
Mm.
Let's just make sure that it does not become the placeholder for what the boy has missed out on his absent father's life. And you touch on a very important issue as well about absent fathers because of work opportunities, especially during the apartheid era, which I think for currently the most the generation, you know, 20, 30, you know, those 80s kids and the 70s kids, they would have experienced that the most, where Papa only comes home for Christmas. In fact, there's one guy I spoke to, I did a survey, who didn't have any relationship with his father whatsoever because he only saw his father at Christmas. He was a Christmas guy. Christmas. But can I talk to this guy about how I'm feeling, about that girl that I like, about finances and all these other things? Definitely not, because like him was doing.
Yeah, because so you see, away most of the time. Exactly.
So that thing, let's therefore try and help this boy who didn't really have his father over his entire life, and hopefully in 2 weeks he'll catch up. No, that cannot be a proper solution. So
all right, let's go to the calls and welcome Heather from Cape Town. Hi, Heather, good morning to you.
Hi, Maria. I think that what you're saying there is just magic, and I want to say that the first hour was the best radio program I have listened to. I have heard more sense there, barring one person that spoke. But I also want to make a point about this conversation, and I'm sorry I've missed your guest's name.
It's Ronald.
Ronald.
Yeah.
Hi, Ronald.
Hi, how are you, Heather?
I think we can just talk about the boy child. I learned most of what I know about life from my father, not because my mother was a weak or vicious person, but just because he was the one that was the instructor. My mother played the carer role.
Mm-hmm.
My father gave me instruction. You know, he coached us in history, in biology. He was a geologist. Mm-hmm. I know everything about what went wrong with Eskom's coal mines.
Okay. Just,
you know, my father was such a critical person in my life. And we can't just associate it in a split of the boy needs the father, the girl needs the mother.
Mm. Interesting one. But Heather, I just want to throw something. My understanding from what you're saying is that a family unit is important. Dad and a mother is extremely important.
Yes.
But let's look at the new trends and new dynamics that, you know, things that are happening currently, where you find even, you know, gay couples, for instance, you know, who are fighting to adopt children. So do we have to be concerned about that, or we should accept that two gay men can raise the child without a problem? or what is your feeling about that? Because we are talking about a family unit.
I heard that the two gay men actually realize that they've got different personalities and they attempt to make a full and rounded, nutritious environment for their children to grow up in exactly the same way I'm describing what I had. I was extremely lucky, but I am a woman and I took most of my instruction from my dad.
Okay, Heather, thank you very much. Heather there from Cape Town. Ronald, if we can, you want to weigh in on that?
Yes, I just want to clarify something there, that, you know, that the focus that I'm trying to bring on the father-son relationship is not at the expense of the girl child and his father.
Yes.
I think if Heather is still listening in, what I'm trying to say is the father is important to both the boy and the girl child.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've explored in this particular book and at this particular time is the relationship between him and his son. Being a son myself who has just started, recently become a father, I think that the father-daughter dynamic is something, an important one as well, and possibly in future can be explored. Who knows? You know, if Heather can humor me, perhaps this is a book I'll release next year. What do I know?
Mm.
What I'm saying is, I think at the very moment in time, I've just chosen to zone in specifically on this topic of father and son without taking away the importance of the father and the daughter and other relationships as such.
And very interesting, because there is this common phrase that fathers and their daughters, you can't. So just emphasizing that, daughters, you know, they and the fathers, there's this affectionate relationship. So,
totally.
Yeah, exactly.
And Heather is very lucky to have had a father like
exactly.
that. I think my daughter, she's only almost two now, and I'm almost about to, I think I'm going to go shopping for a gun shortly because I have that kind of a relationship as well. And hopefully she can say about me what Heather said about her father in future.
Yeah, well, indeed. Very interesting indeed.
Sure.
Let's look at your book, because maybe it will also give our listeners a perspective in terms of why you zero in into this relationship between a father and the boy child, or the boy child with an absent father. So what made you to come up with this book, Father and Sons? What inspired you, and what were the issues that you're emphasizing within that book?
Right. So it's a two-pronged answer that I can give you to that. Firstly, of course, it's a relationship that I had with my own father. And like I said, I grew up for most of my life without him being present in my life. And we only really had a reconciliation summit, if you want to call it, a Donald Trump / Kim Jong type thing.
That's a massive one. On nuclear weapons.
Because you talked about all these things, man. You know, but this really happened, I think, 2 weeks before he died. None of us knew he was going to die. He just got in an accident and he passed away.
And condolences, Ronald.
You see what I'm saying? It's about a decade ago now. But I think the incident opened my eyes to the grace that I received to say, you know what, I'm actually very lucky to have gotten a chance to speak and to voice out my concerns to my father whilst he was still alive. And my encouragement, therefore, from my own personal story, which goes out to the other guys now out there, is to say there are many guys with broken relationships with their fathers, many. And many who don't like their fathers, many who, for whatever reason, do not want to talk or even associate with their fathers. But what I'm trying to say is, you won't have any other father. That's the only one that you have. And my encouragement is, before either of you kicks a bucket, proverbially, it would be really incumbent upon you, I would say, to try and make the effort to make some reconciliation of some sort before, you know, one of us takes 6 feet under.
Mm.
So that's the first part, my personal story. But secondly, I've spoken to a lot of guys. I'm originally from Zimbabwe. I've been in this country now for almost 20 years. And I think for most of that part, outside of the research, just my personal conversations with the gentlemen that I've been in touch with, is that there is a general problem between relationships in fathers and sons. So whether the father has never been in the child's life at all, whether the father is there at home, possibly does not have an emotional engagement or engaging relationship with their son, whether the father is one who perhaps was initially there and then either died or divorced, or whatever the instance, what I found is for most guys, there was just a problem. I don't like my father. You know, he doesn't pay, he never paid maintenance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And for me, this is an issue where now that we know that something like this exists, what can we do about it? And I think now if you mix that with my personal story, you realize there's an action that we need to do. There's something that we actually need to do as society to make sure that we fix these things, not just for our relationships with our fathers, but especially to make sure that our relationships with our sons after us are even better because of that.
Very interesting indeed. My special guest on the line, Ronald Murungai, he's an author and motivational speaker. We're talking about the boy child, yeah, the complexities, particularly when the father is not around. And Ronald, we see even some television programs, you know, where the issue of children, particularly boys or sons, that feel this urge, the need to find their fathers, you know. There might be different circumstances where the mother, for instance, you know, she decided that, you know, the father has hurt her so badly, or the husband or the partner has hurt her so badly, and based on that, she doesn't want the son to have any connection with the father. So the circumstances differs. You know, at times the father didn't know and he moves or something. The circumstances differs. But at the end of the day, when the son grows older, he started asking questions, you know?
Exactly.
And then something has to happen. Have you, in your research, have you encountered that where you find, you know, a lot of boys, for instance, when they reach a certain age, they started demanding to know who their fathers are?
So I spoke to a number of guys. In fact, this book is informed by a survey I did of about 100 guys. And I asked them 23 questions that vary, of course. How was the relationship with your father? Did you know your father? Why? What would you have liked your father to say, et cetera? There's a number of questions that I asked in that survey. And one that came up, in fact, you actually mentioned the TV shows that came up. There's a show I was watching the other day. What's it called now?
Is it not Utatakwe? Yes, because there's another one, Papgeld and so on. Yeah, but Utatakwe is the real one.
So now in this one, this guy wanted to know who his real father is because somebody raised him in the house, husband to his mom, who obviously was his father in his eyes. But I think when he got to like 15, 16, suddenly the neighbor says, hey, what's the king? The real truth is I'm your father, you know. So they call, of course, the DNA guys, Onimrod, they do the tests. And they find out that neither of the two guys is his father. Or even opening up more drama. Yeah. And I think the thing that really got me about that episode is not necessarily the dramatic end to it, but the emotions that that guy showed on the episode. He cried. He cried like, the way he broke down was, I think, boils back to the importance of that father-son connection, because in that, there's identity. In that, there's cultural transfer. In that, one finds who they are in society and in the community. And outside of that link being established and being known, even if there's no relationship, then who are you as a person? Where do you take isidumbu sakho, as the Zulus and Xhosas would say? So it's really an important thing. And I think there's three or four or five gentlemen that I spoke to who had a similar issue. One actually said, you know what, I don't even want to know who my father is because why has he not been in my life, et cetera, et cetera. But for a few who I spoke to who did not know their fathers prior, they actually really want to make that research and find out now, mama, because, you know, sometimes when you see that personal relationship between mama and papa, if it breaks down, it also sometimes affects the children because now papa is being excluded because mama obviously is hurt for whatever reasons that have taken place. But now the kids have no access to papa because of mama's anger. You see.
Yeah.
But obviously, at some point in time, we are post-colonial, you find every other child has a mom and a dad. Everyone is thinking about mommy and daddy, but we're now short. What's the problem? And they want to ask us such questions. So naturally, it's going to happen. And in fact, scientifically, in a boy's life, when they get to the age of 8 or 9, suddenly they no longer really want to be associated with their mom. They might be mommy's favorites up until that time, but after that, they need a male figure in their lives to kind of show them the ropes on how to become a man. Mm-hmm. And if papa's thing, that's when the confusion starts as well.
Yeah. The voice of Ronald Murungai is the author and motivational speaker, my special guest until the hour 2 o'clock. So feel free to get in touch with us on Powerline 0861-987-000. And we are on Twitter at PowerFM987, hashtag PowerZone, and you can tweet me directly at Murio Muriano. So, Ronald, we'd lost over the issue of the father-daughter relationship, because that's not the focus of our attention today.
Sure.
But I want us to move slightly to this strong women, you know?
Okay.
The single mothers. Women who raise these young boys by themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, there might be uncles here and there and so on and so forth, but the reality is that the uncles might be there, but the single mother is the one who's responsible for nurturing and developing this young boy into a man.
Sure.
And we have seen a lot of successful men coming from single, you know, parents, you know, particularly mothers, you know. So does it take away the fact that you don't necessarily need a father, because here's a strong woman who can raise even at times more than one boy? Does it somehow challenge the stereotype or the thinking or the philosophy that a boy needs a biological father or a father figure to become who he is? And just recently, for instance, Ronald, if maybe I can give a typical example, on SABC television, they showed a one boy, I think it's from Soweto. He's a fashion designer, you know, where they identify this young entrepreneurs. They played repeatedly. It's just that I forgot his name. I think, he's a young boy from Soweto. He's now a great designer. And from a single parent, from a single mother, and assisted by the grandmother, you know, basically being groomed by what we can call a woman youthless family, you know? And he's successful. He was supported, you know, he went through trials and tribulations, but he has grown up to be a decent man. He's grown up to be a graphic designer. He has teamed up with other people. He's got international and so on. He designed fantastic clothes and so on. So isn't that a pushback from this notion that you need a biological father?
That's a very important question. I think every time I've spoken on this subject, I've been asked that question. But first and foremost, I would like to actually salute most of these women who go through the most to raise their young boys alone, and girls included in that question as well. I think it's not an easy thing to hold down jobs and try and be mommy / daddy to these kids by yourself. So I think if I could do a standing ovation, if I could ask everybody to just stand and clap their hands, this would be the moment to do that. But in much as that is like that, like I said earlier with my own personal story, I didn't really grow up with my father in the house. But hey, check, I'm talking on radio today. I haven't really done so bad, have I? And the point I'm trying to bring is, you know, it's possible for us to be raised and become well-rounded individuals without Papa Alinting. But that is not the ideal model.
Yes.
You know, the fact that you could not produce that child alone. Biology tells us, of course, that you need a male and a female to come together. Procreation takes place before we can get a child. Pursuant to that as well, even in the nurturing process, you need father and mother in the house. Mother teaches child certain things. Father teaches the child certain things. And society has a well-rounded individual at the end because of this process. Mm-hmm. Now, things happen, of course. Relationships break down. Divorces take place. Parents pass away, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And all these kind of factors come into play. Even the one that you mentioned earlier about people working in the mines, go Joburg, whilst the family's in KZN, perhaps they even remarry, go Joburg, to et cetera. I mean, you know, the extrapolations, they are endless. But that does not take away the fact that, you know, the child still needs their father in their life.
Yeah.
We have, of course, made the mistake. And I think it would really be sad if we take this fact that, you know what, I've actually made it without Papa, henceforth, I don't really need. It would really be an error on our part.
Yeah.
We need to say, even myself, that I'm advocating for daddies to be there. I have a child now, and it's only now that I realize also the importance thereof of being there in my child's life, seeing her smile, seeing her play, protecting her from falling, etc., etc. That stuff is stuff that, you know, you can't write a script about. There's no manual about, but you just have to experience as a parent to that child.
Yeah.
Nothing brings me more joy than to see my child being happy. How that therefore should be something that inspires men out there to stay and take care of their families. Stuff happens, of course, between mama and papa. Marriages are not always going to be a garden of roses. Mm. But that should not affect the manner in which you relate with your child, the time you spend with your child, the impartation you need to give to your child. That is unquestionable. They didn't ask to be there, by the way, remember. Mm. You brought them into this planet. Exactly. So it is your responsibility, divinely given, for you to actually take care of your children. So, of course, hopefully they do turn out right, those who grow up in some Bogoto households, but that is not the ideal. Yeah. As much as it is happening, and I am one of those, but that is not the ideal. The ideal is to have mommy and daddy in the house raising the child up until they become adults on themselves.
Indeed. Let's get the calls going, guys. 0861-987-000. It's gone 25 before the hour 2. We've got about 25 minutes to go. Let's go to Ntsikelelo in Rustenburg. Ntsikelelo, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Dade Murray. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you, my brother?
I'm very well, thanks. And good morning to your guest there.
Yes, this is Mr. Ntsikelelo. Good morning, Dada.
Good morning. Yes, yes. I just wanted to put my worth. Look, I think it's very critical that we do focus on a boy child.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a while, a boy has been left, you know, to fend, you know, for himself, you know, without really a proper guidance. And I think that is why we have so many social ills today. That's because of that lack of guidance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm saying this is because I can relate a story personally, mm-hmm. which is actually the opposite. I remember, I think I must have been 4 or 5 years old, you know, when one day my dad, you know, came to me and just made me sit on his lap, you know, and told me that one day I'm going to be a president of South Africa, you know.
Wow.
And as a child, 4 or 5 years or whatever, you believe what your father is telling you.
Yes.
You know, and I remember in my teens, in my 20s, you know, I had issues, you know, with life, general relationships or career-wise. But those words that my father spoke to me when I was 5 years old, they still remained at the back of my mind.
Ah.
You know? So that is...
They were your guide now. Yeah.
Exactly.
Your point of reference, yeah.
Exactly. You know, I'm 40 years today. But when I look back at those words that my father spoke to me, I can see that they kept me, you know, all those years. Because even when I felt like that I wanted to fail, those words would echo to say, no, you know what, but I can't fail because my father told me this thing.
Yeah.
You understand? But unfortunately, the thing is we also developing, you know, the world is developing, the roles are changing.
Yeah.
And the 21st century also is sort of like passing a conflicting signals as to what is the role and purpose of a man in society.
In society, yes.
Sure.
You know, years ago, a father knew that what he has to do, he must just bring back the bacon at home, the family must eat, and then that's it. The mother must cook and nurture the children and all that, you know.
But things have changed.
Yes, today the things have changed, and you know, you say as a man, I'm bringing the bacon home. The woman also says, but I'm also bringing something home. That also puts also a man in a very difficult situation, whereby relationships break up, and then find out that the child maybe goes with the mother. And the mother, because they also have the financial muscle today to provide. Unfortunately, some, they think that because there's money involved, they can be able to raise the child alone.
Yes.
Which is not necessarily the case. The role of a father is very critical in a boy child.
That's true.
You know.
And Ntsikelelo, what happened to the presidential ambition, my friend? It's never too late. You're still young. 40. Yes, yes, man.
40.
Yeah, but he's still young, man.
No, that one, Brio. I decided to take something else.
No, man. Maybe you're the right one that will put this country back into the course.
Hey, that's a very difficult one.
You know, I don't just To touch on that, that's what I.
So Ntsiki, so we are done. Thank you very much. Okay, we're gonna let Ntsiki Lelo go there, and then Ronald will respond. Yeah, Ronald, thanks Ntsiki.
Cool stuff. Yeah. Yes. So I wanted to say to Ntsiki Lelo right there that what happened to him is what we call affirmation. You see, his dad, possibly he will become president, but he mentioned in this story that, you know what, even at times when things are looking bad, he would always hug back to those words and hold on to them and remember that actually I have a greater responsibility than all these things that are happening around me. And that's a power that a father has, that to empower his child, you know, to be that confident and to know that I am actually somebody, I'm worth something, you know, powerful words right there, and a testimony. I think, you know, he should write a book about it even. And hopefully he doesn't wait until he's 67 before he runs for president, this guy.
Yeah, no, definitely. Mustn't wait for that long. All right, let's go to Reggie in Joburg East. Hi, Reggie, good morning to you. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Bopo. Tininjani.
It's Pili Longjan.
Anya Pila, man. This topic, you know when you hear something and you're just driving and it feels almost like a divine intervention.
Sure.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The way you gentlemen have been speaking just got me thinking also about my own experience with my father.
Okay.
Yeah, well, my father had passed away when I was 4 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have short but very vivid memories of him. You know, and being like as a checkered shirt, man, those short sleeves, but you know, as laugh, because it was that swag from the early 90s, you know, So that memory is almost something that has been replaying in my head as I've been growing up,
okay,
and I don't know how or what I can say, but it feels as though it's the only thing left that I would understand from his death. And that was the first experience that I had ever had of death. It was my father.
Sure.
All right.
At a very young age.
Yes.
Yeah,
because my grandfather had passed away before I was even born.
Ah, okay.
So the first experience was my father, you know?
Yeah.
So now, but Ronald, I'm not sure if you address this particular issue in your book, but how does that effect of facing death at a young age and your father not being there affect you in seeing father figures in other people? Thanks, Bud.
Reggie, before you go, and Ronald will give you a perspective on that. I just want to find out, because quite obviously this issue, it's a flashback. It keeps coming back. Have you had an occasion? I'm not sure if your mother still alive.
Yes.
Okay. So have you had an occasion, for instance, to talk to her about it and maybe to find out more about what type of a person he was? And you know, previously they used to keep albums, for instance, you know, like family albums, and you know, I don't know, but have you tried that? Have you maybe to engage the mother to say, hey, I'm having these things, but maybe I want to know more about my father?
You know, I've been very blessed with a mother that's been able to do that for me without even asking, you know.
Ah,
my mother speaks a lot about my father.
Okay.
Even though she had remarried after he passed away, it was never something that was, you know, shy in the house, you know. She had pictures of him in those albums. My brother, for instance, in his house, we have pictures of my father there on the wall and so forth. So we have those images. But you know, when I talk of a memory, it's almost like something in motion. So the emotion is there when you can see people moving around, you know, versus a picture. But yes, to answer your question.
Okay. Thanks, Reggie, and drive safely, my brother. Reggie, sorry, Ronald will give you a perspective on that. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Ron?
I think also, yes. No, I was listening to Mr. Reggie speaking there, and yo, man, tichuba, no, man, it sounds like a really sad case. And I should just mention that I do touch a bit, though, on that issue of people who lose their fathers at a young age.
Okay.
As part of the umbrella issue of fatherlessness, because I think he's actually a lucky person. I didn't really hear that the rest of the story, but his mom got remarried,
yes,
which means there's a bit of a stepfather figure now,
yeah,
in the picture, even though he's not the biological father.
Yeah.
Of course, that has obviously its own issues as well, you know, possibly accepted, possibly rejected, possibly, who knows, you know, was treated well, was treated bad. But outside of that, there is at least a male figure to whom one can look up to and get some lessons from in the house, where some guys actually don't get that at all. You know, when daddy dies, some women choose to just remain single for the rest of their lives and take care of their kids and don't really get that thing unless Womalume step in. So there's a myriad of different reactions that can come from that. And I think, yes, just to answer Reggie there, I do touch on that. And I hope you can get a copy of that, of my book as well, perhaps, and read up and see what exactly and how exactly that actually affects people who lose their fathers at an early age.
Yeah. Because we've got a number of calls. Before we wrap up the conversation, Ronald, please don't forget to give us details about the book. But let's let's go to Bandile. So, Etu, a caller, Pepsi, good morning.
Hey, morning, not me.
Yes, sir.
Where's my Ronza?
Hey, Tata.
So. Mrizo, tell me, is a surname important or not?
Right. Surname is important, I think, on the cultural aspect of things. Like I said earlier, a man draws his identity from where he comes from, his father. So, of course, you might have surname Yamama and, you know, identify with that and you want to use. And like if you possibly watch these TV stories, there's always that issue. Am I really using the right surname? And Maluza, so it's a na or what. But I think ultimately you need to know Rewena Omang, and does that derive value? Does that give you value? If you know who you are and you are safe and secure in your identity, then really it's just a by-the-way issue. But if that's something you really want to pursue and you want to be identified with because this is your father's surname, then I think go for it.
Hey, Tata.
Are you happy with that, Bandile?
Hey, Tata.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Cola Pepsi there. Let's go to Sianda in Pretoria. Hi, Sianda. Good morning. You're welcome.
Morning, Nijani. I'm very, very good, thanks. I want to comment on this issue. It's really, really nice. Thank you guys for introducing such a topic. I grew up in deep rural areas in Durban, but I'm now based in Pretoria.
Okay.
And from a very young age, I never really got to meet my mother until I was two. So I stayed with my grandmother by then and my father, but he used to drink alcohol a lot of times.
Mm.
So when I was 10 years old, my father introduced me to my stepmother. Then I had to move from the rural areas into the location to stay with them.
Mm.
And my father was always a drinking person. Even when he comes back from drinking, he would kind of have like abusive words verbally, even physically at times. Even when I was doing the trick, it was worse at the time. And this made me be like very scared of him because I looked at him like he was a lion in the house.
Yes.
When you'd be fighting with my mom in the house, I'd feel like I need to help, but then I don't know how to because what if he killed me back?
Mm.
And I was very scared. And you know, in the culture, they say you can't even retaliate to what an older person is doing. So all the time I was very scared growing up, and I became a best friend to my stepmother instead. Even now, if I can call my stepmother and say something is going wrong with me, she would call me instantly. I'm best friends with my stepmom more than my biological father.
Yeah.
And in 2016, when I was done with varsity, I started working.
Mm.
And then now my dad will call me and say, "Sia, come, let's watch TV. Do we watch soccer?" And then we'll talk over things. Do you have a girlfriend now? All those things. And then I was thinking, okay, he's coming back to his senses because he deceased even from drinking alcohol. But still, up to today, I'm very scared of him. Like, I'm scared. Sure. I don't know how to even talk to him, start the conversation and tell him, you know, Dad, I think I want to buy a house. How do I go about buying a house? How do I go about buying a car and stuff? Because he destroyed this thing for like 22 years.
Yeah. Now, this is psychological damage,
How do I start again now and say, Dad, let us go back to the drawing board and talk about this? Because at times when we even talk about things, he would feel like, no, you are not respecting me now. You are young. Don't say that to me. He's that kind of person. How do I rebuild this relationship with him and make sure that moving forward, we are like fine with each other, so to call?
Wow. Ronald?
Right. Hey, so yeah. It's a bit of a tough one, I should say, and I'm really sorry for all that you had to go through. Look, I must just mention as well that, look, the generation before us, all Baba Betu before, have made mistakes, and that's why we find ourselves where we are now. But I would really like to encourage that, you are a man now, Yabon, and you are alive, he's still alive. I think the fact that he's now asking you to come and sit and watch TV and watch football together, etc., he's trying to create that environment, a safe zone, as it were. It's going to be difficult, of course, to break out of that because of what you've seen over time and how he has been, you know, since you were a child. But now that you're a man and you stand on your own and you're financially independent, I think it's the perfect time for you to say, Baba, nansinda, singayilungisa kanjani, singayixoxa kanjani. And of course, depending, of course, on how he reacts, you can obviously negate the issue going forward, but use a little wisdom, man. But I think this is something that I'm glad you spoke about it. I'm glad you came out about it. I'm glad your feelings of wanting to reconcile with your father. I support you on that. And I really hope you can actually take up that thing and then speak to your dad about it.
Yeah, right. I think so, the good start, you know, the fact that he's taking the initiative to say, sit down, let's watch soccer together. I think it's a good start. And he's reaching out. And it is the same thing with him. He doesn't know how to start, but at least he managed to find a common ground, something that you might have an interest on, both of you, soccer. And it starts there with comment about, hey, lo muntu lo inkomo, or hey, this is a beautiful goal and whatever. And then, the good thing that he's reaching out, I think he's also heard to say, hey, I've ill-treated this son, I've ill-treated, and he doesn't know how to start. But because now you are from a position of strength, unlike him, but the fact that he has reached out, I think you can now start, engaging him slowly and so on,
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
The best of luck, Sienda.
So do I take him out on a date or a kind of...
That's an interesting...
I would say go for it. The opportune time.
You do have a car, man. That maybe I just presume that you have a car now. Dad, let's take a drive, go to whatever restaurant and so on, just to have a meal and so on. Take it easy. Yeah, I think that's it will work out ultimately.
Yeah, thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Hey, Taras,
chaps,
okay, take it easy. All right, 8 minutes before the hour, 2 o'clock, we are in conversation with Ronald Muringai, author and motivational speaker. Wow, the sons and fathers. Let's go to Taunyane in Kempton Park. Taunyane, good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
No, we are good, my brother. And you?
I'm well, thanks. Thank you very much for a beautiful show. I've been listening, and I must say, these are the topics that we really need to have even on prime time,
Yes.
So really help a lot of people who went through stuff. Because I believe certain things that happened there in the past are as a result of the manifestation of what is taking place as we are adults now. So long story short, I lost my dad when I was 6 years. But same as a gentleman that spoke before this one.
Yeah.
He also planted seeds, with his words. Like, for example, my uncle's child was attending a private school, which was called multiracial at that time. And then I remember vividly, he bought us a chalkboard and was only allowed to speak English in the house just to make sure that we are in the same standard as him. And so that thing painted, how he wanted us to make it in life. So if I had to fail, that's why I know even today I haven't failed, even though I lost parents at a very young age. But I couldn't, because he left that thing, you will make it, whether you are in a public school, disadvantaged, you'll still make it, no matter what. I'll make sure that you're still here, but you'll speak English. You'll do these things. You'll perform well. So the other thing that I wanted to say was also this. As I grew up not having a role model. Why I'm saying this, I just took everything that I see positive in any male father figure, whether it's an uncle, a grandfather, you know, close to me, a brother. I'll just take, you know, that was the only challenging factor to say, yeah, I can see this one is doing mistakes, but let me just take the positive things and build myself with that. So that's what what worked for me, even though I would have wished to see what, you know, what the relationship could have been like. But that assisted me to be where I am at the moment, and I'm still striving to do the opposite of his mistakes. Like, you know, he had kids all over the show and all those things. So, but in a nutshell, he planted a seed, and, you know, I'm still moving with it even till today. You know?
Yeah, fantastic stuff.
Thank you,
Tainani. The best of luck, and keep on keeping on. We need role models like you to build this country up. Thank you very much, Tainani, there from Kempton Park. Ronald, any comment on Tainani's perspective?
It's very, very, very moving. I think, like the other caller said earlier, you know, that the few words that he spent, the few moments that he spent with his father have shaped the way that he thinks, that he engages with society, that he deals with problems. And you can see, you can hear from the sound of his ear that he's a confident young man. You know, to do all the stuff that he did on his own is really commendable. So I think, wow, I should take my hat off Tainani and say he's done well. But we thank God for everything that, you know, he's actually managed to take from all these men around him.
Yeah. Now, Ronald, in terms of your book, it must have been an interesting one because it is more research based, isn't it?
Sure.
Was it a challenging thing? Because this issue, it's deep, because you can't deal with it in the absence of emotional intelligence.
That's true.
Because if you don't have emotional intelligence, you will definitely break down. And I mean, you hear stories, Tsabusianda, Tsabutaunyani, and so on. This thing, it's deep, because it goes to your DNA, it goes to your soul. When you do your research, and the good thing is that you also use your personal experiences to reflect on issues. So how did you ensure that you don't break down? Because we didn't even touch the issue of social workers, for instance.
Sure.
Because the comments that we had from different callers, Bo, Sianda, and so on, even for instance, Sianda now, the fact that he's still battling, even though the father is reaching out, but he's still battling to can break the ice, you know? And then, you know, because in our cultures, issues of going to a shrink or a psychologist, it wasn't there, because you will reach out to an uncle to intervene and so on. But like somebody has rightfully mentioned, that the world has changed. You know, the dynamics have changed so much. You could tell that it's a burden, you know. And at times it might take a professional to assist in terms of intervention. So how do we manage this emotionally? And is there a need for professional intervention in some instances?
That's a very, very, very good question. And you know what? When I was receiving the responses from this survey, some made me laugh. You know, I would laugh at some of the comments the guys would write there. And some were actually really almost brought me to tears, you know, just hearing about how the harrowing stories of what happened in a man's life as a guy who actually ended up getting castrated chemically because he did not want to, like Tainani was saying earlier, have kids all over the place like his father. He was trying not to be his father. He took such a drastic decision to even neuter himself, as it were. So, look, and I think that the mistake that Mr. Society makes is to box men into an unemotional being, you know, as if we do not have emotions ourselves.
Yes.
We just told, keep it strong, keep it in, put a brave face, and et cetera. But what the thing is, we actually also have emotions. We might not be as emotional as the women are, but we do have our emotions, and we need to speak about them at some point in time as well. So the people that I actually ended up referring to psychologists and to psychiatrists after I received their feedback, and I would actually encourage that sometimes you don't have all the answers to yourself. Speak to a friend, speak to a malume, speak to your pastor, speak to a psychologist, schedule an appointment and get help. it does not help to try and figure things out, because that's how you've been taught, you know, men always make a plan. You don't have to. Sometimes you don't have the answers to everything. You just need help. You just need a shoulder to cry. You need to spill the beans. You need to say something to someone. Go for it. It doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean you're crazy. It means you need help. And for you to become a better, holistic man who can contribute to our society in a positive way, go get the help that you need from whatever source it is that you think you can get that help. I would encourage that.
Yeah, indeed. So, Ronald, where do we get your book? Have you launched it already or what?
Now you're talking. Now you're talking, comrade. So, the launch is happening, actually, very luckily, this Saturday.
Okay.
Be at the Centurion Theatre. At 5 p.m. So if someone is out there and they're really thinking, yo, this is something I really want to witness, come through. Tickets are still available. They are selling fast, though. Find your way to Centurion Theatre, 5 p.m. this Saturday, the 2nd of March. We're launching it, and from then onwards, it'll be available. We're going to try and put it on Amazon. And if otherwise, people can contact me via Twitter and or Instagram or Facebook. My handle is at Moringai03. That's my surname, MURINGAI03. That's my Twitter handle. You can drop me and DM me there. Or you can find Ronald the MC on Facebook. And perhaps we can communicate and see how we can get you a copy of the book. But Saturday is the big day. We're launching.
Saturday, 5 p.m. Centurion Theatre. And yeah. Where do we get the tickets? I know that you said tickets are available, but where do we get them?
You can get them via the website TIXSA. TIXSA, you can get them there. Or else you can contact me directly as well, and I can arrange a ticket for you.
Okay, that's through those Twitter platforms. Okay.
Yeah,
I think maybe we'll get producer Bonolo to tweet them as well on our handles so that people can follow you. Ronald, we thank you very much for your time and insights. Much appreciated.
No,
and the best of luck on your launch. Unfortunately, I've got commitments outside the province. I would have loved to be there, but I'll be there in spirit, okay?
No, definitely. Thank you. Thank you for the time, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy there.
Sure.
Ronald Moringai, author and motivational speaker.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.